It's February 17th, 2025, and today on So Good We Named It and More, I'm speaking with Stan Zimmerman, one of the writers from the Brady Bunch movie and a Very Brady sequel. So this President's Day, while your kids are home from school, check out this episode to learn some exciting behind-the-scenes information about the movie, as well as potential reboots and spinoffs. That's coming up next on So Good We Named It and More. I thought that sounded real professional, you know? Hello, and welcome to So Good We Named It and More. We're doing a little part two. The first part you can catch in the original So Good We Named It, but this one is going to be about the Brady Bunch, because we are still here with Stan Zimmerman, writer, author.
DJ.
Right.
Fitness model.
Exactly.
Should I go on?
What hasn't he done? And
exactly.
If you all did not know, he wrote the Brady Bunch movies, which if you heard when he was on So Good We Named It like 2 years ago, I was fanning out over. I don't know at what point I realized that you wrote those, but I have so many memories from childhood tied to that. I even remember being in the movie theater and seeing the poster for the sequel and being excited. Oh my God, they're bringing another one back. I was probably like 10, so I don't know why I was so into the Brady Bunch, because I didn't even watch the show that much, but I love the movies. And I realized the other day,
what about it?
Well, that was the first time, which I just realized, I think, one, that I've ever seen a drag queen, although I thought that Rue was a biological woman in the movie, but that was probably my first time seeing it. And then I think that was the first time I had ever seen any type of like gay interaction between Marsha and her friend that
spent the night.
Pretty sure that was the first time that I never even thought about it either way. And I was like, well, clearly she's just kidding because they're both girls. She's not gonna, and then they're in the bed. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I don't think I ever thought about it either way. And I was like, oh, so she can date her even though they're both girls. So it's your fault I'm gay. Thank you.
Okay, I take that all on. It's me and my agenda.
I know.
We couldn't believe that they were letting us get away with it on the first Brady Bunch movie. And really, I think it was because the studio didn't really understand what we were doing. Mm-hmm. They kind of threw $15 million as the budget, which was really low for a big Hollywood movie, and they were just like, yeah, just do whatever you want. And then it wasn't until the screening, Sherry Lansing, who was the president of Paramount, she was like, oh, that's what you were trying to do, that's what you're doing. Because when we got the job, we were the fifth writers brought on to the movie.
Wow.
And that's why we didn't get credit. There's a Writers Guild stupid rule that only the first four writers get credit, even though the producers and Paramount went to the Guild saying Jim and Stan should get credited. You have to change the structure of a movie. And because we came on so late in the movie, they were casting when we came on, and we were just hired for a two-week polish, meaning 2 weeks just to, you know, add some jokes and stuff. And because of that contract, every time they wanted to re-up the deal, they had to keep that amount of money and make it for 2 weeks. So they kept doing 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. So we had a good summer. Betty Thomas, the director, we got along great with. And she said, write it for three groups of people. Write it for kids that, you know, have never seen the show. Write it for people that grew up with the show. And then write it for stoners. And we said, we got you.
Now I
got
to watch it while high.
Yes, a lot of people did. And it's a lot of stoner humor in it, you know. So we liked that it could, on many levels. So there are a lot of the sexual jokes, the kids, it went over their head. And then the parents could still laugh at it. And it was one of the first adaptations of TV shows to movies that made money and worked. So I think we made like $17.5 million the first weekend.
Wow.
So that already...
And adjust for inflation, it's like $50 million or something.
Yeah, but it had cleared their budget. So on one weekend of the movie, just the weekend, they had already made back all their money. So Paramount was very, very happy with that. And hence there was a sequel. So then Betty did not want to come back. Arlene Sanford, they brought on. At that same time, we got our first TV pilot picked up through Fox, and it was also through Paramount. We had an overall deal at Paramount. And so we said, we'll do a draft of the movie, but then we have to go make this pilot. We didn't want to split focus because, you know, this is our first TV pilots. Like,
Right.
you want to put all your energies on that. So then we went off to make the pilot, which our producers on it were Finero and Nathan, who we met on Golden Girls. How do you like that
Small
little
world.
connection there? You
Yeah.
know, and that was fascinating because so we were locked in this little office. Alan Ladd Jr. was the producer of the Brady Bunch, and he had this little, it was like a closet. We were back in the closet, and they had turned it into just a place with shelves of old scripts. But there were two windows, and they locked us in there, and they would just feed us scenes. And they said, you can't change the location of the scene because that's already been scouted and prepped, but you could write any new words within that scene. So if it was a scene with Marcia and Greg in the bathroom, we had to be in the bathroom, but any words could change. So we changed all the words. We kept changing words. But to get credit, you have to change the structure. And that's why we did not and lost a lot of money. Because our names weren't on that. But we were in that room writing, and then all of a sudden, looking out the window, getting air, Mort and Barry from Golden Girls walked by. So they had an office on the lot. So we just were chatting, chatting, chatting. What are you doing? Come visit us. So we went over there, and that's when they became producers on our first pilot. And it was really interesting because we had not talked to any of these people from Golden Girls since. You know, we were not asked back for season one. So it was great to hear their perspective. We did not know any of this. They all were fighting to get us to come back. And it was Whit Thomas that didn't want us back.
Really?
Yeah. And they were just non-writing producers. All the writers were like championing us. And like, it's so hard to have, especially young writers, be able to write a good first draft. And they knew we could do that. So why would you not want us back? But
You were too good.
it was not to be. Maybe it was the gay thing. I don't know. Who can tell? I don't think they'd ever, admit to that. But they never felt comfortable around us. And so then we never felt comfortable. But anyway, it was good to hear that because, you can beat yourself up about, you go in your mind, what did we do wrong? And we were doing things right, or we would never would have gotten three scripts. We were only commissioned to have one in our contract, and they kept giving us more. And a lot of our material got in the show. So, and then to get nominated for a Writers Guild Award for it. I mean, obviously we were doing something right. But anyway, that's just life, and that's, the business is there's politics involved, and you can't change that sometimes. You just have
And
to
at
learn
least
to
it
roll
brought
with
you
it.
here talking to me, so it made it
Yes,
worth
it
it,
did. And it
if nothing
got,
else.
and the Brady Bunch got us back together with him. But, we had such great talent, Jean Smart and, Christine
Which I
Taylor
didn't
and
realize that was her until years later. Even though I was a kid, I knew Designing Women, I knew Charlene, but it didn't register. I think because she was a redhead, maybe. That's all it took. Like Clark Kent put the glasses on. Who is that? But years later, I was like, wait a minute, that's Jean Smart. I had no idea back then. What is it you think that makes gay people love the Brady Bunch? I don't think it's the gayest show, but I feel like
But
gays
the
love it.
movies we made, it was a gay energy and sense of humor, I think, about it. Just the way it made fun of things, even little things like we had the real Alice. Be a truck driver because there were rumors that she was a lesbian. So
Really? I didn't know that, which I can
that's why
see.
we that's why we put her in the truck at the end. So we've been trying to pitch a show called The Brady Ladies as like a Netflix or Paramount Plus series
I was going to
and
ask you an
using
update on that.
Paramount Plus, we pitched it to them. They will not make it for whatever reason. I think it's short-sighted on their
Well,
part, but we
Paramount doesn't
have
have a lot of
Christine
original
Taylor
stuff.
and Jennifer Lees Cox and Olivia Hack all have agreed to do it. So in our vision, it's the three daughters move out of the house and get an apartment in West Hollywood today, but they're stuck in 1985, which was the year the movie was released. So it uses the conceit of the films and still it allows them to be pure, but still make fun of the Brady Bunch. So it's kind of like a sensibility of the Brady Bunch, Strangers with Candy. Do you remember that TV
I
show?
love Strangers with
Yeah.
Candy.
So it got could be that kind of vibe, and get RuPaul to be the
Mrs. Cummings.
Miss Cummings, the superintendent of the apartment building. Like that could be her job on the side, because guidance counselors do not make much money.
She worked her way up in the school system.
Yeah,
I
I don't know about
always, as
that.
a kid, I was like, ooh, I wonder if she's gonna get a spinoff when we got to see her daughters. I don't think I used the word spinoff, but I, for whatever reason, thought that that was like setting up her own movie with her kids and her family. That would have been interesting to see with Moesha.
It would have been
But.
great. So that show came about because I remember we had our first meeting with Arlene Sanford, the director, and she said, "Oh, it's going to take place during the summer." That was the conceit of the film. And then she said, "So, we're probably not going to be able to use RuPaul because, they won't be in school." And I remember standing out in the lobby of the offices at Paramount, and I was like, "We're not doing without RuPaul. We've got to get that
Right.
character in there." So she was like, "Well, how are we going to do that?" And you give me a problem, I'm going to solve it. And I said, "Well, they'll be at the city swimming pool, and she'll be there." And then I literally pitched, and then, "Well, what was she doing at the pool?" they said. And I said, "Her three daughters are there." And I said, "And one with braids." And I said, "And she has three, and the middle one would be like Moesha, Moesha, Moesha." And I pitched that joke because the Moesha show was on at that
Right.
point. Well, they doubled over laughing, and
I cannot
that's how.
believe Mrs. Cummings has never been brought up on Drag Race ever. Even when they did their
I
whole
know,
Brady
I
Bunch
know.
special thing, there was no Mrs. Cummings. I feel like Rue doesn't realize people love that character so much because you don't see it pop up a whole
Rue will
lot.
not acknowledge that he knows me. I've met
Really?
him many, many, many times in the backyard. She has since passed, Allie Willis, who wrote The Color Purple and Earth, Wind & Fire September and Boogie Wonderland and the theme song to Friends. There's actually a new documentary about her, which I'm in. So Rue would be in her backyard for every party, and she threw a lot of parties, and I would always have to introduce myself again and again. It's like, I was the one that cast you in the movie. I was at the Revolver Gay Bar in West Hollywood while we were reading Jennifer Lewis and people like that for the part. And all of a sudden, this new music video came on of Supermodel. And I think it was the vodka talking. And I was like, "Wait a minute." And the next day, I went to work and I told Betty and Jim, I said, "I have the craziest idea. What if it was a drag queen?" And they looked at me for a second and they went, "Let's read him." And he came in and got the job. And then I was on set that day, and Jim didn't. We were writing on another TV show, and every day after work, I would go to the set because I just wanted to be a part of it. And I was like, I want to be there the day they did that guidance counselor scene with Jan. And I was on set, and the end of the scene, Jan leaves, and bye, Jan. And I whispered to Betty, I said, "Go up and just say to Rue and say, girl, you better work." And Betty's like, "Why?" That song had only been playing in gay clubs. Like the rest of the world didn't know the song yet. And I said, "Just to have it on film, just trust me." She's like, "I don't even know what it means." So she goes up and whispers, and Rue's like, "Got it." And then they use that in the movie, and they actually have the music to the
I remember
song
that. She's
that
like, "Jan, come
underplay.
back when you're pregnant."
Yes.
So basically, you made RuPaul's career, is what I'm gathering
You're
from this.
welcome. Like, let me be a judge
Why?
on the
That's what I was
goddamn
going to say.
show.
Why have you not been a guest judge? I'll call him. I'll call him. I'll let him know because it's all iconic, and the whole legacy of the Bradys. Are you familiar with all of the many spin-offs and whatnot? And do you have any feelings or opinions about them? I know the comedy hour variety show was panned. There was the Brady Brides, also didn't do well. The Bradys, which turned Marsha into an alcoholic, and Peter's in a some type of weird relationship with his boss. Bobby's in a wheelchair. There's a lot going on. Do you feel like
Yeah.
they, added to the legacy, took away from
No,
it?
we ignore those
You
ones. I mean,
ignore
the
those?
variety show, I love a good variety show because they were always, I was obsessed with variety shows growing up. I remember talking, I was friends with Paul Rubens, aka Pee Wee Herman, And we had talked about it. I pitched them the idea of starting an all variety show network that would play like old variety shows and talk shows. Like, how great would that be?
I'd watch
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, he thought it was a great idea, but we never got to do it, unfortunately. Yeah, we didn't use that much of that legacy within the movie. Like, they didn't really want to get into, the older stuff. But the Brady Brides kind of inspired our The Brady Ladies kind of show. Like,
I
where
thought
did they
Brady
go?
Brides was done pretty well, but I don't. As much as people love the Brady Bunch, there's been a million new things that just don't catch on. So maybe they like them in a bubble. I think what it is people like them as the Brady Bunch that we saw on TV,
Yeah.
which is why they
It is
like
a
your movie.
bubble. I think that's why the movies work, because they were
Right.
still stuck in that
It's not
bubble.
updated,
Now,
nothing new.
yes. And we could just make fun of that bubble.
I agree. I would have liked to see a little bit more of the Bradys, especially, Mike almost died in some collapsed building. It was a lot happening, and they still tried to throw in a laugh track, which was weird. Also
Yeah.
weird that Alice still worked there, but I do find it interesting that throughout all the many things they do, it's very rare that they're all there. There's always somebody missing. Like Cindy wasn't in the Brady Christmas, Jan wasn't in the Variety Hour, Marsha wasn't in the Bradys. I would love to see them do something again other than renovate the house, which I'm curious. Have you been to the house since they've redone it?
No, I tried to get in there and I couldn't get in. I did end up meeting Marie McCormick. I was at that same bar that I saw the RuPaul supermodel video. A friend of mine, Chris Miller, who used to run Drew Barrymore's company, co-owned the bar. And I came in one Sunday afternoon and he was like, he grabbed me, he goes, "There's somebody here you have to meet." I'm like, "What do you, who, what?" And it was Marie McCormick with her daughter on a Sunday afternoon. Her daughter was, 20 something. And we just instantly clicked. And I was like, "Why didn't you do our movie?" And she said, "I didn't know you wanted me." I said, "Do you know how many scenes we wrote for you?" And we wrote specifically little cameo scenes because I knew she wanted to be a country western singer. So we wrote a couple scenes
I didn't know that.
within the movie that never got made. We did a whole joke where someone was driving by and they saw Gary Cole leave a gay bar because, Robert Reed was a known homosexual. So we did little things like that that didn't end up in the movie.
I always assumed that you just only wanted the people that popped up. I didn't realize that you wanted other people. They just couldn't or
Oh,
didn't
we
want to
wanted
do
all
it.
of them. Eve Plum would not play any part of it.
Yeah, it's
A
unfortunate.
lot of them have had this love-hate relationship with it and not wanting to be only remembered for that. A lot of actors in that
I've
ilk are
heard
supposed to be.
that, but then you'll see them do one thing, but then they're not going to do the other thing. So I've always wondered, like, how do they decide this I hate, this I'm going to do?
I think early on, Eve especially wanted to get away from all of it. And that's why she wasn't in, she was a kind of the first one not to be in things. And then I think, later on, I think she learned to embrace it a little bit more. And I think that's why they did the renovation show. And also it was
Yeah, and she had the role as Fudge's mom in that series.
such a lot of money for it, to do that. I would love to see the house though. I think that'd be really
I
cool.
wish they would buy the Golden Girls house and do that one and, let me
I
live there,
know.
whatever. But I was watching, because I love watching old shows that nobody ever heard of. They only had two episodes or one season. I was watching. It was called Day by Day. That's what it was. And it had Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Courtney
I
Thorne-Smith.
remember, yeah.
And they had a very like special Brady episode. The son went on to play Greg in the movies, but in the show, he was
I
obsessed with the
know.
Brady Bunch and the mom, dad, Alice, Marsha. They came back. I think Peter and Bobby were there. Is that how you found him for the Brady Bunch movie?
You know what? I was not involved. We were literally locked in this little room writing scenes. They would throw us
Oh,
scenes and just
yeah.
say, they were casting at that point. So Betty would come in and say, "Oh, what do you think of this person?" Or, "We filmed, let me show you the tape." And I remember the day she came in and she said, "All right, don't look at the video of this actor. Just listen." And it was Gary Cole. And we listened, and we didn't know. Gary Cole's known for Midnight Caller and dramas, but he sounded exactly like Robert Reed. And we're like, "Who the hell is this?" And we're like, "Gary Cole, is he funny?" And he was, extremely funny and got the whole humor of it. And then in the book, I write about the whole Shelley Long and casting her, and Betty Thomas knew Shelley, but we didn't think Shelley would do it because it was not the leading role in a film. She had starred in, True Beverly Hills and movies with Bette Midler and all these people. But she was great in the movie. I think she was
I think
just
that was the
so.
first thing I remember seeing her in. And for a lot of people, the first thing you see, that's what you always think. And I'm pretty sure that Carol Brady was the first movie that I saw of hers, or a show, or anything. And I, having seen more of her work now, I wouldn't assume that this would be a role that she would do or do as well as she did. But she fucking played that part. They all
Oh my
did.
gosh, they all did.
And it
We
was.
read a lot of people for Alice, like Kathy and Jimmy we wanted.
Oh, that would have been
There were some really
interesting.
interesting names for that that for whatever reason,
Did Ellen audition? Because she looks a lot like Ann B. Davis, I must say. Did she
Ellen
ever?
DeGeneres?
She does. If you look at a side by side, they look identical.
Oh my
So I
God,
always
okay.
wondered, was
Now I'll
she,
never be able to look at Ellen again.
I know. I mean, if she wants to come back, this is the way to do it.
That's the thing.
As
She could just do a spin-off of Alice and Sam. Yeah, they pack some meat,
I mean, they did say she might have been a lesbian, so you never know. Well, first of all, would you, if somebody said, here's 15 million or 30 million, do number three, would you do it? And do you think you could do it the way you want because of cancel culture now? And there was a lot in those movies that would not fly today.
Oh, I know. I mean, I think even Jean Smart's line about a Brady sandwich. So she was with two underage boys being
Yes, I
sexual.
vividly remember that part of
Yes.
the credits where she like pops up in his box, which made me feel funny at a young age.
Yes.
Like, why do I like
Yes.
this a little bit? But
Yeah.
could you do it
So,
though,
yes.
maybe?
I think I would not make a third movie, but I would make the Netflix series because I think that would be just a fun way to honor the movies, but still, be able to poke fun of where we are in the world today through the eyes of the Bradys.
I would love to see how the Bradys would respond to a lot of what is going on today. Just from what we've seen, I had a little thread I was doing on Twitter about, well, I started out trying to think of TV dads that were decent dads. And I realized the only ones I could think of were like Carl Winslow and, Phillip Banks, all, they're all black. So I'm like, well, where are the white good dads? So I'm like, I got, okay, Dan Connor, Mr. Brady.
Yes.
And Jason Seaver, and I think I have one more.
What about Tim Allen?
I don't know. I feel like he was not supportive enough of Jill.
Okay.
Good husbands and fathers
But
as well.
yeah.
But I think what I liked about Mr. Brady, one, he worked from home. He started pioneering that, and I feel like he was very involved and he gave good advice. He wasn't too overbearing and he didn't
Well,
try to control
once you
his
heard,
wife.
got through all of it, he was like
Yeah.
Rose with the story.
And the music and whatnot, but I don't know. Like I don't know. I know they had, which we talked about before, the Bradys in the White House. But I'm like, would the Bradys be storming the Capitol? Would they be liberals? I don't know
Oh,
where they
that
would
whole White
fall.
House thing, that was crazy.
I don't know where they would fall, but I would love to see some of their takes on those things. If Paramount or anybody, ever wants to do that, or with the Brady ladies, and were you to bring the Brady ladies, to the small screen. And Paramount, all they have is like, Big Brother and reruns, so
But
they're
they
not.
own the properties. We
I
did
know.
talk with Betty and we did pitch to Paramount a third movie, and we were going to do the reverse that contemporary girls go into the Brady's world. That they were at a Brady con and they fell into that world and see how, contemporary people deal with all that craziness and how they lived without phones.
Well,
So I think that would be interesting as
in the
well.
Brady Lady, since you said you don't really pay too much attention to, the subsequent series, would there be no acknowledgement of Wally or any of that, and their
I think
kids?
everything would be fodder in a series, like, or you make fun of it, like we would do, what happened to the dog or whatever. We would, have stupid lines like that. So I think, especially in a series, you want to be able to pick everything. And so when we were doing specifically number two, the sequel, we watched every episode again at lunchtime, like three or four, just to like, and just take notes of like, oh, we must make fun of that and that. And some people would get it and other people wouldn't. And I just noticed you have the yellow phone on your wall.
Yes, one of the few things from
Oh
my
my
Golden Girl
God.
shrine that I have not boxed up. I actually use one of my showers for storage for some of that stuff because it was so much and I couldn't fit it in the closets. But I have to have the yellow phone, a little reminder, and my picture with Rue up here. But yeah, I think the Brady Bunch, I think it's just so campy and it's not meant to be. And I think that is what makes it so hilarious all of these years later because they were serious. They were like, this is a for
In
real
the series
thing.
was campy?
I think so. I feel like it was, which again, I
I
don't think
don't
there
think
was an
they did not know that.
it
I don't
was not
think they were.
intended to be, but looking at it now, it's like, this is crazy. This is ridiculous. But because it was done in a serious way, I think if they had intended for it to be campy, it probably wouldn't hit the same versus like, you know, we're gonna have the dad give this great speech and play this music over it. And now you're like, what the hell is he talking about?
There was camp shows back then. I don't know if you remember the original Batman.
I have
That
seen it.
was pure camp, and I flipped out over that. I didn't like crime shows, but I just the colors and the characters and the they were like it was very like Scott Pilgrim, like pow and things, and I just was obsessed with that show.
Which the Joker later went on to be on the Golden Girls and tell Sophia, I care for you. For those of you that did not know that. But yes, I'm going to end here with my final question regarding the Brady Bunch and the Brady legacy. Let's say the show got brought back. Is there anything specific where you're like, this is an episode I have to do for the Brady ladies? We need to address this specific topic, character, person, anything.
There is so much happening in the world today that I think we could do multiple seasons of it. Just the craziness and the politics and just where we are in the world. I can't be more specific than that. I would just love to get my hands on those characters and see, all of, Marcia, Jan, and Cindy, what they would say about, Let's just start with gay pride in West
Yeah.
Hollywood. I mean, that would be just so interesting and funny. And the jokes kind of, I hate to say this, but write themselves
I mean, I
because they
wouldn't be opposed to more alcoholic Marcia. I thought that was quite an interesting turn.
Well,
And
also the nutty, Jan in her head and hearing
yes.
voices, I think, there would be a lot of people that would want to put her on some kind of medication. Or think she already is on some, yeah. What would they do with like legalized marijuana? I mean, there's so many things that we couldn't do in the movie that have since, what would they think of, non-binary people, the whole trans.
I could see Jan trying that just to try anything to get some attention.
I mean, she tried on that wig.
I said to my husband the other day, I'm the new Jan Brady. Had no idea what I was talking about. What a waste of a great reference in the moment.
I think you need to dump him.
I mean, at this point, you know, he never gets any. I'm like, this stuff is gold. You just don't understand. But he's not a big pop culture person like me. But you've worked not, I mean, the fact that you've not only had so many things you've worked on, but each of them is iconic. Not everybody can say that they've done
How
so
crazy
many
is that?
super iconic things. And even,
Yes.
you know, the other day I was in the car and I had the damn Davy Jones song stuck in my head, Girl.
Oh.
And I was like, I gotta find this song now because I got it stuck in my head because of the movie, which in hindsight, I'm like, that was a really big part of my childhood. I'm not big on watching movies a lot over and over again, but I think it probably came on a lot, like on TBS or something. And every time I got sucked in, back then they had the Beverly Hillbillies movie, they did Charlie's Angels. I don't know what happened to the whole remake thing. Like, can we get a Give Me a Break, the motion picture? Something? I don't
I
know.
wish.
But
Yeah, somebody sent me an SNL. It was, I guess Susan Day was the host, but it was the Partridge Family and the Brady Bunch do a sing-off, and
oh.
but it was like Adam Sandler. It was a great cast, but they were very, very young.
I remember a like an unauthorized behind the scenes thing of I think it was probably the Brady Bunch. And I remember there was a scene where they like met up with the Partridge Family cast. It was like West Side Story, like they were about to start fighting or something. Like, was it really that deep? I don't know. Maybe it was. But thank you for creating things for us to obsess over years later, over and over again. I say sure, Jan, on a daily basis.
As you should, yes.
I said today, nice try, Jan, to someone. So thank you. That's secondary. Not everybody gets a sure Jan. Some of them get a nice try, Jan. So I do appreciate you providing us with so many noteworthy things, such as, no, I will not have a nice day.
The shirt. No,
no, no, I will not have a nice day. I don't know if you saw my video where I reenact that. I had to find the green cow neck sweater and everything. But thank you for providing us with so many things. I have not gotten into Gilmore Girls.
Okay, you have time.
But there's time. It's just hard when there's shows that's like 8 seasons. Like, where do I start? So I just...
Seven. And then the Netflix, yeah.
I just watched all of Everybody Loves Raymond last summer. I'd never watched it at all. And I watched the whole 200-something episode. So It's possible. I can definitely get through it. But it's just hard when you don't grow up watching it, so you don't know where to start.
And they're hour shows. But I'm telling you, that show, it's so beautifully... just the writing, the acting, the music, everything about it. And Stars Hollow, the little town they live in, is just a great place to spend some time.
Well, if you so wrote you it, and I love everything else you've written, maybe that'll be my next podcast. Okay. But thank you for joining us, and I hope you have a very Brady day. And whenever Paramount wants to fund this, I will be the first to watch, and maybe I'll cancel my subscription. Wait, after Big Brother airs, then I'll cancel it in protest.
In protest,
yes. Okay. But where can everybody find you if they want to follow you and see what you're doing?
Zimmerman Stan, TikTok, and a lot of Instagram, even Facebook. But hopefully, people will go out and get my book, "The Girls from Golden to Gilmore." You can get it on Amazon.com or many, many, many other places.
And I need you to sign mine whenever you again.
When I see you next, yes.
Well, thanks for stopping by. And until next time, this has been So Good We Named It and More.